Corinthians chapter 12 will be our passage tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 have a short challenge for us this evening. I just want to give the teenagers a quick round of applause for all that they've done tonight. They made tonight great. And and thank you for everyone else that helped as well. We really are grateful. I love camp ministries. It's where I accepted the Lord as my Savior. It's where I felt the leading to go to Bible college, and it's where I felt the call to ministry. So camp ministry has been instrumental in my life, and so it is a great time. I encourage you, if you have teenagers, make sure they have that week available. It's the week from July going into August, and that will be a blessing not only to them, but your family as well. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer real quick tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word, I just pray that you would help our minds to absorb it, dear God. Lord, help us to be in tune with your word and put aside the distractions of today and everything that has happened in the busyness of our lives, dear God. And Lord, we just pray that you would work in this time now. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where we're at tonight, the verses right before are pretty recognizable. We have Paul talking about the thorn in the flesh. Many of us have seen this scripture before. We've heard it preached, where Paul is talking about this thorn in the flesh, something that he besought God to remove three times, but God would not. You see, Paul, in the beginning of this chapter, is talking about these quote-unquote chiefest apostles. These were men that were going around touting of themselves, lifted up in pride, but they were ministering in the name of Christ. And the Corinthian church felt the urge to follow these men that lifted themselves up, that were lifted in pride, rather than the apostle Paul. And so he's here defending his apostleship, here defending his right to minister as a minister of Christ. And as we look at verse 11 starting in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, "I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, and signs, and wonders, and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." And this will be the verse we're focusing on tonight, verse 15. "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." And see, God desires for us tonight to love others like Jesus loves us. And that's a tall task, right? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He's still at the right hand of the Father advocating for us daily, even this moment. And as I was thinking about that fact, and I was thinking about service and the teens putting this whole event on tonight, I thought of just the theme of service. And it reminded me of the day I landed my dream job. I was 19 years old and I landed my dream job. I had just gotten to college, put out a bunch of applications, and I couldn't believe it. My dream job called me back. And my dream job was Olive Garden. I always wanted to work at Olive Garden. I know some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy, but I had high ambitions as a 19-year-old, okay? So all I loved their food. Every time I went over to my grandparents' house from 8 years old to 19 years old, my grandpa would ask me, "Where do I want to go?" And every time it was Olive Garden. I just loved the food. I loved going there. And would you believe, when they brought me in for orientation, they let me taste test the whole menu so I could recommend dishes to people. I was in Olive Garden heaven, okay? I was having the time of my life. My coworkers were great, well, except for some of the waiters and waitresses. You know how that can kind of be. If you've worked restaurants, you know. But the most challenging thing was the customers. And we didn't call them customers. We called them guests, of course. But some came in and they were just very rude, or they're very impatient. I'm sure none of you have ever been that guest. None of us have ever been that person, but we all know people like that. So they're impatient, rude, or particular. I remember one night, this couple came in and it was 10 p.m. We closed at 11 and we had shut down an entire section of the restaurant. And so I was guiding them back to their table, and they said, oh no, we want this table over here. It was right in the middle of the shutdown section. We had already cleaned it. We had already done everything. If I sat them there, I knew that one of the waiters or waitresses was going to be very upset with me. So I, in some uncertain terms, said, no, you're not sitting there. And so I took them to seat. I said, we'll be good right here, I think is what I said to them. I said, we'll be good right here. Sat them. And I had to have a talk with my manager the next day because they had filed a complaint. Fair enough. But it made me think, as I thought back on that story, and I thought back on what the teens were going to be doing tonight, and I asked myself, am I living up to the heavenly calling of serving and loving others? I had failed in that respect at Olive Garden. I didn't serve like I was supposed to, like I was trained to. I didn't show love to them in the way that I served them, but am I fulfilling my heavenly Father's calling? And so tonight we're going to look quickly at three different aspects of the way that Paul served and showed love, the love of Christ, to others. The first thing he did was he was always seeking to serve. He was always seeking to serve. He came in, we see in verse 12, it says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. God said, listen, Paul said, God was doing a work through me and you all saw it. You all saw what was going on. Why are you comparing me to these chiefest apostles? But verse 13, for what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except to be that I myself was not burdensome to you? He said, am I wrong because I never took any money from you? I worked to support myself on the side, and then I worked to minister to you. Am I wrong for never taking any of your resources, any of your money? Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. You see, Paul wanted to minister to people. Paul didn't care about what they had. He didn't want anything from them. He just wanted to lead them and to tell them and to teach them about Christ. And we should have that same aspect in how we think about things. And we need to be ministering to others, not worried about what we can get out of the situation. Notice what Paul says in Acts 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now we talk about it's better to give than to receive. That's usually just something I say around Christmas time, right? You're right. No, I'm buying gifts for someone. I say, you know, it's better to give gifts than to receive them. But that's not just a saying to say around Christmas time. It's a way to live our life, to be looking at other people that are hurting. I was talking to a friend about this just the other day. We can get so caught up with what we're going through, can't we? The problem we're having at work, or the problem we have at home, or the problem even that we don't know how it's going to get solved. And we fail to see those around us that are hurting just as bad, if not more, than we are. So the Bible urges us to be aware of other, to be aware, to look at others, see how they are doing, not to be inward focused. And that's in word and in deed. Sometimes it's very nice to do nice things for people, but sometimes all they need is an encouraging word. Someone to pull them aside and say, hey, I noticed the hard work you've been putting in. Or hey, I've noticed how you helped that person. I know you were a blessing to them. In word and deed, we are called to seek to be an encouragement to others. But secondly tonight, look at what Paul says. We're called to spend for others. Spend for others. In verse 15, the Bible says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Now, spending here is thinking of the giving of resources, right? The giving of your money, the giving of something that you own to another person. And I'm sure we can all think of a few different instances in the Bible where people gave of their resources. The number one story I think of is the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? Yeah. He comes and the feeding of the 5,000 happens out of a small lunch. Something that was made for just that boy. Something that no doubt his mother had put together for just him, but it fed 5,000 and so much was left over. You see, when you give your resources to God, he multiplies them. He does more with them than you could ever imagine. It's a blessing to the person that you're giving it to because you are providing, you are the hands of God that is helping them see that God, helping them see God's goodness and how he's providing for them. But also, God uses us to do that to teach us a lesson. that we can trust him. That if I give this, I can't outgive God. God is going to give it back. Notice 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. And so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. God is calling us to give to others liberally, cheerfully, because God says, you can't outgive me. I'm going to give it back. I'm going to provide for all of your needs. But lastly tonight, not only to spend for others, but to be spent for others. I believe this is at the very core of Christianity. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And I can't help but think about our Savior, Jesus Christ, coming down to this earth and being spent for us. Notice our last scripture tonight, Matthew 20, 25 through 28. But Jesus called them being his disciples, unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whomsoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And this blows me away because our Savior, the only one that's worthy of all of the honor and glory, the only one that's worthy of all the praise, if there was a person that could say, hey, step back and you need to serve me, that is Jesus, but that's not what he came to do. He came to serve others and give his life a ransom for anyone that would call on his name and trust in him and him alone. Amen. And so if Jesus, God of the universe, creator of the universe, is willing to do that, I need to look past myself where I can serve others this week. I need to look at my workplace and see, how can I serve my coworker? How can I help serve my spouse this week? Why? Because if Jesus did it, I can do it. Ruth echoed this very sentiment. I'm sure you all have heard the story of Ruth and Naomi, and how Naomi actually wanted to change her name to Mara because she was so bitter about the situation she was in and what God had done. But watch how Ruth ministers to her in this moment. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. There's countless examples in Scripture. Nehemiah leaving the palace to rebuild Jerusalem. The disciples leaving their lives to go walk alongside Jesus and minister. People all throughout the Scriptures have walked away from what could be best for them or walked away from everything they knew to minister and to serve others. So the question tonight is, what can we take a step back from in our own lives to clear us up to minister to others? I know we all have busy schedules. I know there's not enough hours in the day sometimes. Trust me, I understand. But at what moment, at what time, at what place can we take a step back and say, I'm going to put my needs to the side. I'm going to put my agenda to the side. And I'm going to minister to serve this person. Sometimes it can be hard to take that step back when it feels like life is go, go, go. But I'm encouraged when I remember that God knows exactly how many hours in the day there are. He created the days. He made them that way on purpose. And if God put that much time, then I can achieve everything he wants me to in the time that he has given me. So just to recap tonight as we close, here are the three aspects of what the Apostle Paul did throughout his entire life, and especially serving this Corinthian church. He sought to serve and to be a blessing. He looked for the needs of others, putting himself to the side. He spent for others. He gave of his resources because he realized he could never outgive God. But thirdly, he was willing to be spent for others. Whether they loved him back or not, he was willing to be spent for others. And it's disheartening at times because we live in a culture that says, you stand over there, I'll stand over here, we'll both be happy, we'll both be good, but we're both going to keep our walls up because we don't want to get hurt. Ministering to people and loving people, you're going to get hurt from time to time. Yeah. There's going to be times where you pour your heart out to someone and you try to help them and you get hurt. But friend, if you'll never let down that wall, you can never be used like Jesus wants you to be used. You can't love like a Christian needs to love if you're going to keep that wall up. And no matter what the culture says or what's popular in this moment in time, we need to love and to serve as Jesus loved. Amen. Seeking to serve, spending for others, being spent for others. Let's pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for your goodness. Lord, you are the creator of the universe. We cannot even describe the ways in which you have been so good to us and served us, Lord, and cared for us. Lord, help us to be a reflection of you in our day-to-day lives and, Lord, our workplaces, our friend groups, and, Lord, to our spouses. We pray that you would help us to reflect your character and to honor and glorify you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.